Welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. My name is Kyla.
And I'm Bill.
And I'm Johanna.
And we are so glad that you are joining us for this conversation about Lent and about the idea of sin, which are things that we sometimes talk about in the church, but we don't always know exactly what it is that we're talking about. So hopefully we can clarify some things in our little conversation this morning.
Or muddy things up more.
Maybe. That's also possible. Yes. We'll see where we end up. Yeah. So Lent, it's a thing that we talk about. What is it?
Oh, well, for me, it's something that I've observed for quite a number of years as I've been a Christian. And I just find it as a great time of reflection, of introspection, to kind of look in order to see where I am in my Christian life and just kind of make some adjustments or changes. It's a common practice for Lent for people that observe it to give something up. Mm-hmm. And I guess the idea of that is that during this time of Lent, it's generally a time of sacrifice. So, mm-hmm. So you are not doing certain things. So people have chosen to give up, cigarettes or drinking or movies or TV yeah. or social mm-hmm. media or whatever, any number of things. And I those are things that it tends to be things people don't really give up prayer or Bible study.
Right.
But it tends to be things that maybe have a potential to have a negative impact in their life. So they're mm-hmm. removing something that's potentially negative, and which is great. I think if you're every year you're deciding during Lent, those 40 days, that you're gonna, not gonna remove yourself from social media, or you're gonna stop smoking cigarettes or whatever. And I think that in and of itself is great, but I like to also put something positive in its place. So when you're sure. taking something negative out of your life, good move for sure. But then in order for it to become something that hopefully continues beyond Lent mm-hmm. and becomes part of your character and your journey, your faith journey as well, then I like to kind of try and add a new positive habit in its place. So that might be an attitude of prayer or mm-hmm. Bible study or daily devotion mm-hmm. or something like that. Or just just reserving the time that you would normally have spent doing the thing that you're removed from your life during Lent and taking that time to kind of read your Bible more or to pray, and hopefully that would positive habit would continue beyond Lent.
Right.
So yeah, that's and then year over year that helps kind of in your faith journey to hopefully come closer to God.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I know. So you mentioned that Lent is 40 days, which is true. But actually, if you count the calendar days, it's more than 40.
That's right.
Because the 40 days of Lent doesn't actually include Sundays, which led to this really interesting conversation in my house one year. So I had decided, I was living with my parents, but I had decided, what if we gave up meat for Lent? And my mom was okay with it. My dad took a little bit of convincing. But he said, but Sundays don't count. So on Sundays, we will eat meat. And the rest of the 40 days, we'll give up meat for Lent. That's was great. Just this like interesting thing.
So do you know why Sundays don't count?
No, why don't Sundays
because
count?
Because Sundays are considered, every Sunday is considered a little Easter.
Okay,
and so,
that's fun.
And so Easter is outside of Lent. And yes. So it's not counted in the days of Lent. So technically, if you're giving up something during Lent, you can celebrate Easter by enjoying that thing,
right?
Even while you're during the course of Lent, but I think most people don't. They just continue to deny themselves that thing over the whole right. course of Lent, which I guess is better.
Sure, yes. Unless you need that theological rationale for a good steak,
or meat every Sunday. That's a good idea.
I
approve.
Yeah, I know, Johanna. You maybe haven't really observed Lent before.
No.
So like coming into it, hearing about it in this church, is there anything about it that like stands out to you?
Well, I didn't know it was 40 days. I thought it was like a week.
Okay, yeah.
And the only part about it I knew was that people fasted. I didn't know that you could give up anything really that could potentially be a detriment.
Right.
So yeah, pretty much everything that you just said is new information to me, which is very good. Yeah.
Okay. And so one of the reasons that we have this focus on, giving things up for Lent is to spend more time, as you said, in prayer and in scripture. And this focus on, you know, confession, especially, and removing sin from our lives. Sin is another one of those words that, like, do we always know exactly what we mean when we say that? Do we we don't really like talking about it. So like, Johanna, when you hear the word sin, like, what do you think of?
I just think like actions, thoughts that separate you from God.
Okay.
That's just my definition of it. So I'd rather like avoid those things.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. What about you? What do you think of?
Johanna, I think that's an excellent definition of sin. I think anything that separates us from God is can be considered or looked at as a sin. I think sin in general is often a difficult concept to get your head around, especially for the unchurched.
Yeah.
I think it's often they either see themselves as being good people.
Yeah.
And so they don't need God or the church.
Yeah.
Or they consider themselves, and in my work over the years, this has been far often more the case, where they consider themselves too bad. Mm. Or nowhere near good enough, or never good enough to possibly have a relationship with God, or to ever darken the doors of a church.
Right.
I think for a lot of us that do go to church, and you know, we do think about sin every now and then, that it is a thing that is kind of important that we're kind of do get our heads around and understand. And I think Harold, who's the minister here for a lot of years, a while back, when he talked about sin to us, he talked about the big S sin and the little S sins.
Okay.
Have you ever heard this before? I'm not going to do it justice because he did so much better, but I'm just going to try to give a little, prescient for us. And basically he said that the big S sin was the original sin from Genesis, okay. That original, understanding the knowledge of good and evil that in some way got us closer to God, but ultimately was the separation from God in the garden, and then cast out. So that was like the uppercase S sin. That's the theological, foundational understanding, the theology of sin, where it got started. But what he would often focus more on is the little S sins. Mm-hmm. And that was all the things, like Johanna, like what you just said, all the things that we do that negatively affect our relationship and being in communion with God. Mm-hmm. And there's too many things to begin naming. We're going to talk about the seven deadly sins. And pride is certainly, the first one that we talked about this morning. But anything that prevents us from being in a relationship or a better relationship with God, anything gets in the way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it doesn't necessarily have to be, you don't have to go straight to murder.
Sure.
there's a lot of things in between that, and it doesn't even necessarily need to be a bad thing, but it's maybe something that takes could be a good thing in and of itself, mm-hmm. but it's something that takes your attention away from God. Mm-hmm. It becomes more of a focus in your life than God. The common one is money, right?
Right.
And it's like it's not money that's the root. That's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil.
Right.
It's the fact that money takes the place of God in our life, where we're worshiping money instead of we're worshiping God. So that love of money is the sin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if we focus on loving God, money and other things has its place.
Right.
So I think when we talk about sin, there's things that are in our face that we could be, that is easier for us to steer clear of because mm-hmm. they're obvious. And then there's a lot of other little lessons that creep up on us and are just kind of, like a lion in wait, crouching in the weeds. Yeah. They're just ready, wow, to pounce on us when we're not looking.
Right.
So
yeah,
it can like escalate. Too, like the little S's to the big S's, I feel. Because I used to have this teacher who used to say, if you can lie, then you can steal. And if you can steal, then you can kill. So just being mindful. It was like really extreme at the time. But looking back, it's like, okay, she's using like really extreme language to communicate to us that like the little white lies and stuff that we tell, like, it can lead to us normalizing further sins. Mm-hmm. And so to just dip it in the butt and be aware of it from the start is probably best practice.
Yeah.
That's great, Johanna. I love that sense of escalation. It's just at the beginning, you know, it's like a lobster in a pot.
Yeah.
When the water's cold, it's not a bad thing, but when it raises over time, you don't realize you're being boiled alive.
Yeah, basically.
yeah, for sure. So that's sort of what sin is. Why do you think we don't talk about it?
People don't like to feel judged or called out.
Okay.
But like, for me, I'd rather be called out here on earth while I still have time to like do something about it and like fix it versus called out and then it's like the rapture and I'm done and it's over for me. So yeah, I'd rather be called out here, which is why I think talking about sin is important.
I think it's shame too. I know for me, I'm much more comfortable talking about sin as the concept than my own sins lately.
Sure. That
wasn't on your list. I'm very grateful. Thank you. it is, as we deal with this stuff, it's very personal and it is good to have someone, a peer, or a confessor type person or a spiritual mentor that you can go that deep with to deal with this stuff. 'Cause you need to deal with it. But yeah, it's a difficult topic to be honest about.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you started, Johanna, by saying, like, people just, like, don't like to feel judged, right?
Well, yeah, like, it's just people don't like that you get that pit in your stomach and it's like, oh, I don't want to be like that, but you are like that.
Right.
So now what? You know, and you try to justify, like, well, I'm not, like, that bad. Yeah, it's just a whole cycle, I feel, of, like, you have the internal shame of being sinful. And so you like deny or whatever. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it just makes me think about, yeah, we don't like to feel judged. And something about like sin language and like talking about it, it feels like there's almost no neutral way to talk about it. Mm. Right. Like, there's no way that I can say, hey, Johanna, let's talk about sin. And like, for it to not be like, oh, Kyla, like,
the big conversation
has a problem with me. Or like, oh, Kyla needs to, like, there's some problem in Kyla, right?
Yeah,
like, I need to confess, right? It's just, yeah, it's got all of this, like, loaded baggage, I guess.
To start an intervention?
Maybe, yeah. It can feel like that.
Let's
for
come
sure.
and have a conversation about sin.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. But I think you're also right, like, on the other hand, like you said, you know, sometimes it's shame and people feel like they are just, like, too bad. But some people feel like they're, like, good, right? And so, like, obviously I don't need to talk about sin because, like, sin is, like, murder and sin is, I don't know, these terrible things that I would never do, right?
Yeah. So I think why it's so important to talk about sin, even though it's a difficult subject like you're talking about, is that it, you know, it kind of destroys the basic building blocks of life, how God made us. I think when I talk about, you know, growing up well, I say that there's three basic building blocks, being, belonging, and believing. Okay. And those things are crucial to us growing, becoming the person that God wants us to be. You know, being is about self-worth and about growing in character, and developing into who we are. Belonging is our sense of others around us, being part of a family, being part of groups. I think we're built, to be in community. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge part of what, of, you know, the positive development of who we are. And then believing, of course, is about believing in something. And I tell people how important it is, you know, for us to believe in something. It doesn't always have to be, you know, a talk about religion, but but ultimately that's what it needs to be. I mean, we've had people that have talked about there being a God-shaped hole. I mean, a hole in our heart that's God-shaped, you know, that you could try to fill it with other things, but only God is going to matches that hole in our heart. So ultimately it needs to be God. It needs to be faith that fills that believing need that we have as humans. But sin destroys each of those building blocks, right? So when you look at belonging, or, you know, when you look at pride, as an example, because that's what we talked about today, that it is devastating because it separates us from God, like not just pride, but all sin, right? Separates us from God. It isolates us from others, and it and it erodes us from the inside out. And so we have, so the separation from God destroys believing, the isolation from others destroys belonging, and the erosion of self destroys well-being. And so sin is that thing that just kind of destroys the basic things in life that that we need to be who we are. So it's important to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like another reason that I feel like talking about sin is so important is because like you can't walk through the world and think that everything is okay. Like it's impossible, right? Like if anybody's out there watching the news, looking at what's happening in families, in communities, right? We all know something is wrong, right? And like what I love about the sort of story of the Bible is that it gives us a framework for talking about that, right? It gives us something that says, yeah, the world is wrong and like here's why, but also like here's the hope that comes through it, right? Like, yeah, otherwise we're just sort of scratching our heads saying, well, why isn't the world getting any better?
Yep. And that's what Rob did so well in the sermon today about pride. I think he did a great job. And I'm saying that not because I'm contractually obligated to say that, but I think it is actually true. I think he did a really good job at talking about the different kinds of pride.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the first couple of those definitions, I was going, yep, that's not me. Yep, that's not me. And then he said, oh, and if you're pride about not being pride, or if you're feeling really good about not being prideful, well, that's pride too. And I'm like, oh no. and then once he kind of defined what pride was in its other and many forms, he talked about how we can deal with that and pointed us back to God,
right,
as a way to put our focus on him and not on us, saying that pride is when we focus on ourselves. And if we keep our focus on God, then we can avoid being prideful, which I thought was great. Sure. Very simple and easy understanding of what pride is.
Yeah. So we talked about sin as this thing that separates us from God, but even that, I mean, like that's certainly a helpful place to start, but even that feels a little bit, I don't know, out there, conceptual, I guess. So like, what does that actually mean? Like, do we have a sense of like how sin separates us from God or like what that looks like?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind would be that it distracts us from our walk with God. So like, I don't know, just a specific sin, I guess. I can't really name one, but just like anything that kind of takes your attention away from, you know, the good in the world and like the Lord, and then like brings it to this weird place that you're in. You know?
Yeah, that's fair.
So I would say that there's a lot of definitions of hell and our concept of hell just described in the Bible and cultural, you know, definitions and stuff. But ultimately what the Bible says is hell is separation from God eternally. And so I think sin in our life is mini hells, right? Is experiencing hell on earth. And if we're in a state of undealt with sin in our life, then we're experiencing that separation from God and we're experiencing hell or a little taste of what it is going to be for eternity.
Right.
But
what about when the sin feels really good? Right? Like
I never said
like,
it didn't.
Like the gluttony that's like, maybe this isn't great, but like that ice cream was fire. Right? Yep. Like,
okay, but then after you have like cramps in your stomach because you ate so much and it's like the after effects will probably show up at some point.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I can't argue with that. Yeah. I experienced that for myself. I mean, I enjoy the things that I'm not supposed to do. And I sometimes don't enjoy the things that I am supposed to do, but the what I've read recently in my daily devotionals and heard from Rob and Justin at the men's retreat was that when we start to focus our attention on God, which is then away from sin, then we learn to like the things that we do that are in relationship to being that to
giving that focus to God. Mm-hmm. And then we begin, again, it's a discipline. It's something that we learn. It's not, you know, it's not a light switch turn on and off. It's something that takes years to develop. And I don't know if we ever perfect it, but I mean, you just, you learn to have that same, if not greater, it's certainly a more positive enjoyment of those things, of being in worship, of singing praise to God, of learning new things in the Bible, and applying that in our life, and just recently having the opportunity to pray for someone, and just feeling like God was speaking through me to respond, like right then, like live action prayer, answers to prayer, right? Yeah. And you know, if we can get our enjoyment from those things, then a big bowl of ice cream maybe isn't as appealing as it might have been once, fair. Or whatever else.
Yeah.
We're not talking about.
No, I think you're right that there is a sense in which sin can feel really good in a moment sometimes, not always, but it's not ultimately fulfilling.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's a deeper longing there, right? It goes back to that like God shaped hole in your heart, right?
Yep.
That other things can like do their best, but they're not actually
we
what we're doing for.
Spend our lives trying to jam other things, other shaped things into that God shaped hole, and it's just not going to work.
Yeah, for sure. So this morning, Rob talked particularly about pride. And I think pride, I mean, he made this case for it being this really sort of insidious thing that's just sort of always there. But I mean, I appreciated the way that he started by saying, like, you know, sometimes pride is, we think of it as maybe not a virtue, but as something like that we want to cultivate in our lives, right? So just what did you guys think about that? Is there a place for a healthy kind of pride? Is that possible? I don't know.
Yeah.
I should think so.
Okay.
I hope so. I mean, I feel like it's a fine line between being like arrogant and just like full of yourself, and then recognizing yourself for your strengths and stuff like that. Like, I feel like you have to have that positive self-image, but it just can't be over, like, it can't be as much of a priority, like this much. It has to be like, I feel like base level, just like kind to yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it is tricky because I think it can be both good and bad. And so maybe it's kind of a double-edged sword thing.
Yeah.
It is good to have a certain amount of pride. I mean, people talk about being proud of their kids. Yeah. I mean, that can't be a bad thing. Although, you know, you do know when it's going a little over the top, and where maybe being proud of your kids is maybe, you're listening to too many stories of how they've got A pluses and maybe that's when it goes over the edge. But I think there's nothing wrong with feeling good about ourselves, with feeling good about where we're at in our lives, feeling good about the church we go to, feeling good about, you know, the things that our family are doing. But I think it might cross over a boundary when you're pushing that, or when you feel you need to validate yourself by talking about all the good things that are happening around you, possibly in comparison to the person you're talking to, who might not be doing so well or in such a good place, and like, oh, look how great things are going for me, right?
Yeah.
So you can cross the line, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know it.
Yeah, and I feel like it has to, all things in balance. And sometimes it's hard to know where that balance is. But I also think, especially with pride, it's one of those things where I can't necessarily judge where the line is for you. Or like, because like it's all about, sort of what is motivating my statements and behaviors, right? Because if it's, I can be saying the same thing. I can be saying, oh, I'm so proud of this piece of art that I did. Now please worship me. Right. Or I can be saying, oh, I'm so proud of it. Like, I feel like I did a good job on this. Right. And like, that's just a statement of fact. Moving on. I don't need you to validate me.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like what your motivation is, I guess.
It feels like a minefield.
Yeah.
Even when you're so humble about your own humility, and then that's pride.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, Yes, can't get it right.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it is a minefield, but I also think it's super important for us to figure out how to talk about in healthy ways, right? Because I've been in Christian conversations where we talk about pride and what we say is, well, just therefore, like, self-deprecation all the time, right? Avoid the pride by just, like, hating on yourself. And that is obviously not a healthy way to do it.
Yep.
And clearly not what God wants us to do, right?
No, like, God, not, no.
God made us in God's image to, like, as good people. Mm-hmm. And, like, that doesn't mean I'm good all the time, but, like, God's not wanting me to hate on myself.
Yep. I think we've been made good, and we've got the uppercase S sin that separates from God, and all our lowercase sins that separate us from God. But we have a God who has loved us enough to send his only son to die for us on the cross to eradicate all that sin that we could not do for ourselves that we can be in relationship to. So we are, you know, we're good people who have done some bad things, and we have been redeemed as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so we can be free of that and move on to sin no more.
I think, Bill, you had a prayer that you wanted to end us with, I think.
I do have a prayer. And since we're talking about pride, this is the prayer of the humble man by an American theologian and hymnist named Willie Nelson.
Okay.
So let's pray.
Let's pray.
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be one hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Sorry. Couldn't resist.
I mean, no. That feels true.
It's the prayer of the humble man.
Yeah. Yeah. Some days that's just how it goes. Yeah. Good. Well, thank you so much for taking this time. This has been a really fun chat. And looking forward to journeying with you through this season of Lent. Yeah. And for those who are watching and listening, I hope that this has prompted some thoughts for you as well. Looking forward to continuing to journey with you through this season of Lent. We'll see you again next week.